This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 29 من شهر شوال 1444 الموافق ل 20 من شهر مايو 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا فيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويغفر للمؤلف، ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last time, if you remember, we were talking about the hadith of Sulaiman ibn Buraida عن أبيه عن عائشة قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمر أميرا على جيش أو سرية أوصاه في خاصته بتقوى الله عز وجل. Between us and this hadith was quite long, so let me just refresh our mind with it, and then we skip the Mas'alat al-Ula to Mas'alat al-Thaniya. Buraida says that his father told him that Aisha radiallahu anha told him that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he sent al-Amir, whenever he appointed al-Amir ala jayshin, upon an army, aw sariyatin, Sariya is the jaysh that usually goes out at night. Yeah, they differentiate between al-ghazwa wal-sariya. That ghazwa is a battle that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participates, and usually it is in the daytime. Sariya is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send people. They move most likely at night in secret, and he will not be participating amongst them. Yeah, that's why they have some issue with the Ghazwat Mu'tah. Yani Ghazwat Mu'tah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go. But it is called Ghazwat Mu'tah, not Sariyat Mu'tah. So that's why some says the reason why Ghazwat Mu'tah is called Ghazwat Mu'tah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he wasn't there physically, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like he was involved in the battle. You know, he sees what is going on because he was there in Medina telling the believers what exactly is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him or inspired him with that which is happening. So he told them just now, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib is slain. And then the flag was taken by Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Haritha was dead. And then after him, Ja'far took the flag. And then in a moment, he told them Ja'far also was gone. And now Abdullah ibn Rawaha took the flag. And then after that, he was slain. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the one who take the flag after him was Saifun bin Sufi. Allah Azza wa Jal, Khalid bin Walid. That was the first battle he led the Muslim to the success in. And then all of his battles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him victory wherever he goes. So they said it is called Ghazwa because of that, because it's like he was there with them participating, although he did not go physically to the battle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he sent people and he appoint somebody to lead them, because you cannot go and fight an enemy randomly. There has to be a leadership. That's why last time I said it's a complete system. It's not a joke. You know, it's a complete system. These are matters of life and death, yeah, and injuries, and so many other things. You know, it's a system. And blood is of a Muslim is sacred, as the nusus of the Sharia have mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La zawalu dunya." It says, "La zawalu dunya." You know, ahwanu inda Allah min safki الدمي الحرام. To have the whole dunya been taken, that's much easier than seeing the blood of a believer being spilled by somebody. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزال المؤمن في فسحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. يعني he says you keep on having chances for you to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as you don't shed the blood of of a believer. And Abdullah ibn Umar says, إِنَّ مِنْ وَرْطَاتِ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي لَا مَخْرَجَ لِمَنْ أَوْقَعَ نَفْسَهُ فِيهَا سَفْكُ الدَّمِ الْحَرَامِ سَفْكَ الدَّمِ الْحَرَامِ. This is one of the most critical issues that whoever gets inside them, there will be no way for him to go out of it, is to kill a Muslim or to shed the blood of a believer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of judgment, أَوَّلُ مَا يُقْضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي الدِّمَى. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about concerning the mu'amalat are the blood matters. So all of those people who were killed unjustly on earth, whether by whoever contributed in killing them, whoever that person might be, whatever justification he has, if it is not the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those bloods will never go like that, even if they are not Muslim. Yeah, injustice is injustice, wherever it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qatala mu'ahadan min ghayri julmin lam yarah ra'ihatal jannah." If a person kills a non-Muslim who lives with him in a state of peace, you just go and kill him just because he is not a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Muslim would not smell paradise. So that's Islam. So that's why this issue of the jihad is not a simple matter that some people would just go and make a decision or take photo from the Facebook or YouTube. No, it's a big, big, big matter that needed scholars of the Ummah to sit down and the involvement of the authority and sit down and decide and talk to the nation and decide what to be done and make a proper arrangement in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, used to invite them and call them whenever some of those spies comes to him and told him that the enemies are on the way to come and attack Medina or somebody is planning against the believers and they're really sure about what they witness with their eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to invite those who were there amongst the big companions to discuss the matter. What next? What to do? Yeah, because as I said, we're talking about matters of life and death. Yeah, fatwa from the YouTube or Facebook or Google is wrong for a person to go and even say bad word to his Muslim brother. You know, rather, I mean, we're not even talking about killing or doing something of that nature. Allah guide us to the truth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he appointed people to go and fight, he used to, he commanded people, he used to appoint a leader, an amir for them. أَوْصَاهُ فِي خَاصَّةِ نَفْسِهِ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. He will advise him in himself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. Yeah. Without the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never succeed. Yeah. So he will advise him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi khassati nafsihi wa bima ma'ahu min al-muslimina khayra, and also to be very kind and good to those people who are under his control. Yeah, because sometimes we think just because we are the leaders, then we do have a right to do whatever we want. La wallah. And whoever leads the affairs of the believers and he makes life difficult on them, Allah will make life difficult on him. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma man waliya min amri ummati shay'an fashakka alayhim fashkuk alayhim. He says, Ya Allah, whoever happened to lead any of the affairs of my ummah, and he makes life difficult on them, Ya Allah, I ask you to make life difficult also on him. So leadership means you are now acting as a slave of the nation. Yeah. Before you used to be a member, but now you are the servant, you know, who is always providing services to the nation. And it is absolutely a responsibility that has no rest in it. You know? So he will ask him to be kind with the believers. ثم قال أغزو بسم الله أو على اسم الله. Go and fight in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وفي سبيل الله, and also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قاتلوا من كفر بالله أغزو ولا تغلوا ولا تغدروا ولا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا. وَإِذَا لَقِيتَ عَدُوَّكَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell him, go and fight those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the non-believers. Yeah, not every non-believer is being fought. Who are the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded to be fought? Those are the enemies who are fighting the Muslims also. So go and fight and do not take ghulul. Ghulul is to take from the booties before it is distributed. وَلَا تَغْدُرُ And don't deceive. Yeah. Don't deceive. وَلَا تُمَثِّلُ And don't commit muthla. Muthla is mutilation. Yeah, you can kill a person, but you cut him to pieces. In Islam, no. This doesn't exist. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا وَلِيدًا And nobody is allowed to kill a child, a minor. وَإِذَا لَقِيتَ عَدُوَّكَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And if you meet your enemy from those idol worshippers, you see, he said, your enemy from the idol worshippers, not those who are living with you in peace. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you kill those ones, you will never smell paradise. So that means those people who are fighting you, who are your enemy. Prophet ﷺ said, if you meet them, then the system is, there is no muthla, no ghadr, no ghulul, no killing sisters, no killing, old people, or the monk and the children. All of these ones, if you go through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the Khulafa al-Rashidin, you find that we are not supposed to touch them. وَإِذَا لَقِيْتَ عَدُوَكَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَادْعُوهُمْ إِلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ You know, subhanAllah, even during the battles, the enemies are not supposed to be fought just like that, directly, without giving da'wah. The Prophet ﷺ said, first, أُدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ Invite them to one of the three things. Okay? Number one, he says, فَأَيِّتُهُنَّ أَجَابُوكَ إِلَيْهَا فَقْبَلْ مِنْهُمْ وَكُفَّ عَنْهُمْ If they accept either one you accept, just accept it and leave them. So, he says, فَقْبَلْ مِنْهُمْ وَكُفَّ عَنْهُمْ أُدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ The first one is invite them to Islam. Because defense in Islam, jihad in Islam, is not about just going to kill. No, it's about removing the obstacles and the evil that is disturbing the community. That's it. Depriving people from seeing the truth and going back to the one who created them. That's it. That's why the first thing, before even you fight the enemy who is fighting you, the Prophet ﷺ said, invite them to Islam first. فَإِنَا جَابُوكَ فَقْبَلْ مِنْهُمْ If they accept, just accept from them and that's it. ثُمَّ ادْعُوهُمْ إِلَى التَّحَوُّلِ مِنْ دَارِهِمْ إِلَى دَارِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ And then invite them to move from that place when they accept Islam. Accept that from them. And that's it. Yeah, because you cannot touch them. They became your brothers in the deen. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, invite them to move from their place to the place of the believers. And subhanAllah, and it's in the past where there is no entertainment. Yeah, in our concept nowadays, the kids will say life is very boring. No television, no anything in those places. And that was a village. Even now also our villages are just empty places, you know. What do you think about the village in those days? You know? But still when they accept Islam, the Prophet ﷺ used to ask them to leave that place, whether it is a village or a city, to leave that place to Dar al-Muhajirin, the place where they find the Muslims. Unity is essential. And also increasing the size and the amount of the Muslims is essential. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ قَلِيلًا فَكَثَّرَكُمْ You used to be little, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you more. So having huge population is a strength. Yeah, they know this. We're the one who don't understand this. But having big population is a strength. Yeah. Islam wants it to happen. And that's the reason why it says when you marry who? The baron. No, he said, Al-Walud al-Wadud. The one who really loves you and the one who can have children. He says, فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Because I want to be proud of your size on the day of judgment. Yeah, it's a strength. You have 10 losers, you know, inshallah, there's going to be one who is okay. You can. One of the interesting hadith, you know, all of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are interesting. This hadith in Sahih Muslim, it says, تَجِدُونَ النَّاسَ كَالْإِبْلِ الْمِئَةِ لا تجد منها راحلة. He says you find people just like 100 camels, but unfortunately none of them is okay to be used. Yeah, salam. You know, it was likely, and he's talking about the time after him, you know, a bit after him. I don't know, you know, if he comes to our time, maybe can even a billion. Yeah, subhanAllah. He says you find people كالإبل المئة لا تجد فيها راحلة. You find people just like 100 camels, but unfortunately, you have the camels and you want to get one and leave and carry on with your journey, but none of them is okay to be used. Yeah. So that's why we keep having. Inshallah, there is going to be somebody who is okay. You know, if 10 are not okay, inshallah, you can have the next one will be okay. We'll do the job of all of those 10 who are losers. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to the Jews. He says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. He says, remember my blessings upon you that we made you, you are the most, and you are the vast majority. Yeah, you are the majority. So whenever you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to somebody in this way, saying that I bless you with this, that means it is really a blessing to have huge population. So even at home, trust me, if you have children at home and there are a lot, your enemies in the society, they will not come to you easily. Because they will remember that this guy has soldiers in his house. Good idea. So, and you don't know what exactly will happen to those children. So keep having as much as you can, but at the same time, also observe the tarbiyah in the correct way. Yeah. Last time when I talk about this issue, because there are some, even among us, who are thinking in the opposite way, that no, having children is not good, you know, a lot, you know. Yeah, some people who marry, but they decide not to have children until after 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I heard somebody saying this, you know, his decision is not to have children until 4 or 5 years. MashaAllah. Wish him all the best. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want us to do this. At-razzaquhu Allahu azza wa jalla. We're not supposed to be lazy. We're supposed to be doing our job with energy. So you have the first child. What must you do? Get busy. The mother and the wife should get busy giving him the tarbiyah, educating him, training him, you know, making him a better person. Trust me, when the second one comes, although this one is still young, you will transfer that which he learned from you. He will be acting to him like the way you are also acting. So this little tiny baby is going to learn slowly, slowly. And then when they grow, subhanAllah, and you are doing things gradually, you know, by the time you have 2, 3, 4, بإذن الواحد الأحد, when the next one comes, your job is going to be very, very low. Yeah. You have no, you know, much of job to do in terms of giving tarbiyah to your kids, because everyone is cooperating to give the tarbiyah to the kids. They teach them what they learned in the school. Yeah, so that little that you have to transfer to your the newborn baby, those guys will be ready to contribute and to participate in doing that. So that's how we make it easy. But unfortunately, you live in a place where the freedom is... kids are free to do whatever they want. The father neglected his job, mother neglected her job, because both of them are busy with working somewhere. They forgot that they have a heavy and a bigger responsibility. And then they neglected the children at the hand of the mate if they have one. Or else they will be what they call in the past, atfal al-mafatih. You know them. They have atfal al-mafatih. Mafatih, keys. No, unless you should understand this word literally. Atfalu and mafatih. Miftah, miftah, key, like this. Meaning, every young boy has his own key to the house. Meaning he's living his own life different from the life of the parent. They go out, he goes out. So whenever he wants to come back home, he comes back home. They are there, they're not there, it doesn't matter. Different life. He comes back home at the time he wants, and they come back home at the time they want. This is his life, this is our life. SubhanAllah. They have written on this. I thought you guys come across something. Because most of the writing I have heard shall be in Arabic, not in English. Anyway, so tarbiyah should be given gradually. You know, start one after the other. And inshallah, if the next generation comes, you will not get into trouble. So wife shouldn't be lazy. This is my message to all the mothers at home. Shouldn't be lazy. Wake up. Invest in your first child, second child, third child. Inshallah, the upcoming ones, your investment is going to be very little because you have other tutors, you know, and teachers to do the job for you free of charge. And you are sure that what they will be conveying to those younger ones is correct because they took it from you. You get it? And the job would not be so heavy. Nowadays, sometimes clashes between the husband and wife because the husband has to stay at home, do the job which is known naturally to be the job of the mothers at home. Yeah, because we adopt other kind of life rather than that which we got from our religion and also from our culture. Yeah, it would, there's a moment where the husband has to stay and clean the children first before he goes to his work. And I never thought about this to happen, you know. Good idea, yeah. Because these are very simple and daily routine and a job that I think every woman understands that they're the one who know how to do it properly. So in Islam, we have this job distribution. We put everything in its own proper place. Men, they have their own job. Women, they have their own job. And if you are going to transfer the job of one of them to the other one, trust me, facade is going to take place. Facade is going to take place because there are things, whether we like it or we don't, only a sister can do it. And there are things which only a brother can do it. So we keep them. And there are a lot of things which they can contribute, they can participate together at home. Husband supporting his wife in cooking. Halal? Yes, halal. You come back home and he found her in the kitchen, you decided to go and wash the plate or burn the food. It's all okay. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us we are to come back to the teachings of our religion. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will invite them to go and move from their places to the place of the Muhajireen. That's why in Islam, hijrah is wajib. Yeah, wajib. As long as your religion is threatened, you must move. Yeah, must move. And that's what most of us don't understand because of what? The dunya. You know? And subhanAllah, even the dunya also, we don't enjoy it also. And what kind of dunya you are threatened on the daily basis that somebody can just take your life off just like that? Because they drink wine or they think you don't look okay. قَالَ فَإِنْ أَبَوْا فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ يَكُونُونَ كَأَعْرَابِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Sometimes you might tell them, move from your place to the Muslim territory, but they might not appreciate that. We want to stay in our place. You know, and the Prophet ﷺ said, let them. But tell them they would just be acting like the Bedouins amongst the Muslims. وَلَا يَكُنْ لَهُمْ فِي الْغَنِيمَةِ وَالْفَيْءِ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يُجَاهِدُوا مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And they don't have any portion of the ghanima and the fay. What is the difference between a fay and a ghanima? Okay, this ghanima is the booties and the properties that you take from the enemies from the battlefield after fighting. You fight and defeated them and whatever gift, whatever you got from that place, is called ghanima. Al-fay is also ghanima. But the difference between this one and that one, the fay is the situation when they run away. You go to the place, they run away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا أُجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْلٍ وَلَا رَكَابٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يُسَلُّطُ رُسُلَهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So that's fay. The Muslim goes to the place and the enemies run away. So they left everything. Whatever the Muslim got, they do not fight, they avoid, they do not do anything. So this is fay. Is there any difference in terms of ahkam? Yes, there is. In the ghanima, you divide it into five pieces. One portion, you distribute it to the masakeen, who did not participate in the battle. Masakeen, the needy and the poor, and those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Surah Al-Anfal. Get it? And the remaining of the four portions, this one should be distributed for the combatants, you know, according to the system designed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A rakib will take two portions, and mashi, the one who is walking, will take only one portion. If you study fiqh, you will see all of these. And the fay is not like that. Fay is supposed to be distributed, all of it, into five, and distributed to only to those people who are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr. Okay, ما أفاء الله على رسوله فلله وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم. So one of the purposes of distribution in Islam is to reduce the gap between the rich and poor, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so that the wealth will not be circulating amongst the rich, only among the rich people. So when those kind of wealth comes, you know, subhanAllah. Well, you don't find a system like Islam, religion of cooperation and help and tarbiyah, manners, you know, these type of topics and the hudud and qisas, you know, in relation to the other topic, these are the minority of the minority. Yeah. And there is no way for you to make a move and establish good and khair, and liberate the nation and bring them back to their consciousness and appreciation that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to them, then this type of method is necessary. قَالَ فَإِنْ أَبَوْا فَاسْأَلْهُمُ الْجِزْيَةِ. If they refuse, then ask them to pay the jizya. Jizya is the tax, right? They are paying the Muslim land, the Muslim authority, and that's it. Just take that one from them, and they do have a right to live in that place peacefully and do their business. And subhanAllah. Very beautiful history when you look at the past where they creep into the Muslim community, because what they pay is very little, you know, in comparison to the taxes which is being taken by their authorities in their places, you know. So they prefer to come to the Muslim place and do the trading there. It's more profitable, and the peace also is better, and justice also is better, because in that place, you cannot be oppressed just because you have different religion from the Muslims. Islam doesn't tolerate oppression and injustice against anyone. قَالَ فَإِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوكَ فَقَبَلْ مِنْهُمْ. If they accept the jizya, then accept that, and that's it. فَإِنْ أَبَوْا فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِاللَّهِ وَقَاتِلُهُمْ. If they refuse, then just seek the help and the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go ahead and fight. قَالَ وَإِذَا حَاصَرْتَ أَهْلَ حِزْنٍ فَأَرَادُوا أَن تَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ وَذِمَّةَ نَبِيهِ فَلَا تَفْعَلْ. It is when you besiege, you know, a city, and those people, they want you to put them under the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the covenant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذِمَّةَ نَبِيهِ, and the agreement which is based on agreement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ذِمَّةُ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ فَلَا تَفَعَلْ. So it's like you are signing on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, don't. Now you are in the authority. Yeah, they want to have an agreement, but it is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, no, don't. قَالَ وَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ ذِمَّتَكَ فَإِنَّكُمْ أَن تَغْفُرُوا ذِمَمَكُمْ أَهْوَنُ مِنْ أَن تَغْفُرُوا ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Because to go against the pact and agreement between you and others is much easier than going against the agreement between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somebody. So that's why he says, tell them, no, that's between me and you. هَذَا مَا صَالَحَ عَلَيْهِ فُلَانِ بِنُ فُلَانِ مَعَ فُلَانِ. بس. He says, وَإِنْ أَرَادُوا أَن تُنَنْزِلَهُمْ عَلَى حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَفْعَلْ. If they want you to, deal with them upon the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, don't accept, because these are matters of ijtihad. If you don't have a text, if that is a text, the Prophet already told them the text, and they just have to use it. But if there is no text, there is no text from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, and they ask you to do the hukum between you and them, but using the hukum of Allah, he says, do not go with this. قَالَ بَلْ عَلَى حُكْمِكَ نَزِّلْهُمْ عَلَى حُكْمِكَ. He says, use your own hukum, your own ijtihad. Because these are matters of ijtihad. He says, use yours. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَتُسِيبُ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِمْ أَتُسِيبُ فِيهِمْ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ أَمْ لَا. Because you don't know. If you say that you're going to decide by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them, you don't know whether what you are saying is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, since there is no a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet. How do you know that this is hukum Allah azza wa jal? It will be iftiyat ala Allah azza wa jal. So the Prophet said, if they ask you to use the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell them no. We will use our own discretion. That's it. Ista'in bin nusus wa ma ila dhalika, and look into the nusus, you know, and decide according to what you see. You know, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, when they brought him, you know, to decide on the case of Banu Qurayza, you know, they brought him, and that man, subhanallah, his tribe made a mistake when they chose him to be the one who will decide. They thought he will be like those who said to Banu Qaynuqa and Banu An-Nadhir, begged the Prophet ﷺ to let them go, you know. The Sa'd came when the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Rasul, he told him, Ya Sa'd, these people, they want you to be the judge between us and them. He said, me? You know, like some of the events, just because they said, don't wish to be in a time, غَيَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Some of these events, you know, you will wish to see what is going on. He told them, me? I'm the one who will decide. Say, yes, you. He said, okay. And then he says, حُكْمِ يَمْضِي عَلَى الْحَاضِرِينَ. Is my hukum, you know, accepted by the Hadirin? He's talking about us, his tribe, those who were there. He said, whatever I decide, these guys will accept it. They answer, because when he says Hadirin, they know that he's talking about them. They said, yes, we agree with whatever decision you're going to be making. And then he says, well, حُكْمِ يَمْضِي عَلَى الْأَوْسِ, the other tribe. So they told him, yes, whatever you decide, we also accept. And then he says, وَحُكْمِ يَمْضِي عَلَى مَنْ هَاهُنَا. And the Prophet was here next to him. He did not mention his name. He says, and my decision also is accepted by the one who is on my side here. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, subhanAllah, this people, everyone is so smart, you know, they understand what exactly he is talking about. He said, yes. And then he says, my hukum on these people is that whoever has the ability to fight has to go. To go and fight, or to be sent to the waste. No. He says, whoever has the ability to fight must be killed. And if you look at the khiyana of Banu Qurayza, is different from Qaynuqa, different from An-Nadhir. Qaynuqa disrespected one of the Muslim sisters, which is a very, very, very big matter with the Muslims. Because wallahi, with no apology, this is who we are. And one person in Islam has the value, you know, and the Prophet said, Al-Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'uhu. But anyhow, it's like we are sharing one blood group. You know, everyone has a group, right? So Islamically, it's just like we're just the same. Yeah, nobody will come and say that نَحْنُ شَعْبُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْتَارُ. Although there are some Muslims, أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ, who think that they are شَعْبُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْتَارِ. I met somebody who, okay, let's leave this one, was saying that some people, no matter how much knowledge they have, but they still have deficiency in their aql. Like, where's this guy talking? So this is Aqidat al-Yahud. We are the chosen ones, you know. We are the chosen ones. And the rest are all lower than us. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'uhum. He says, وَيَسْعَى بِذِمَّتِهِمْ أَدْنَاهُمْ. And if one of them, who is the lowest person amongst the Muslims, sign an agreement between him and others, that agreement is executed, you know, and every Muslim, wherever they are, they have to respect that agreement. That's why in the past, It is impossible for her sister to come and talk. Talk to who? Who will listen to her? It's impossible. They used to be killed alive. And then they see the moment whereby a sister will tell a brother, no, this person is under my. And even in the civil affairs, she cannot get involved. We're not talking about matters of Jaish and war. No, this one, nobody is even imagining a sister giving her opinion in this. Only in Islam we have this. Muhani, she went when Ali bin Abi Talib decided to kill those two people who went to her house, and she said, they're under my protection. Ali bin Abi Talib says, no way, it doesn't work like that. He wanted to do, she said, no, they're under my protection. So Ali bin Abi Talib doesn't also want to take action because he might be wrong. So she said, let me go and ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she went, she found the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Masjid al-Khayf, and she told him, Ya Rasulullah, so and so and so, people, they were in my house and they're under my protection, but Ali ibn Abi Talib says he has to kill them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Qad ajarna man ajarti ya ummahani. He says, whoever is protected by you is protected by us also. Yeah, so, Wais abidimmatihim adnahu. That's the system, although the scholar said afterwards, you know, so that to avoid playing game, everyone will do a thing which might come back to harming the Muslims, then the decision, the final decision is supposed to be made by the top authorities. Yeah, but this concept remains that we are equal in terms of nature, blood, nobody is better than the other one. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَهُ. And they're all together, you know. That's why he says, لَا يُسْلِمُهُ. You're not supposed to submit and pass the Muslim to another person, no matter what. If he oppress another person, you cannot take him and submit him to the enemy. You can't. But we have to deal with him by ourselves. Yeah, we get him, you know, through the justice. We punish him, the punishment he deserves. But we cannot submit him to that. To the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he oppressed them, we have to put him under the punishment, but we punish him, not them. That's the meaning of wala yuslimuhu. So that was the past when people have right, you know. The whole nation of the Jew in that place, they had to leave the place because of disrespecting one Muslim sisters. Banu Nadir, they plot against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They decided to throw rock on top of his head. That's caused them also to leave the place. But Banu Qurayza, their khiyana, subhanAllah, is worse than all of those ones. Because they are not planning to take away Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone, but the whole Muslim in Medina. They want to stop Islam from going. And they were so happy. And they signed an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they broke it. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to them somebody, Sa'd bin Mu'adh and Sa'd ibn Ubadah. You know, they went, they talk to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking you about the treaty between us and you. Is it still on? They said, no. Just straightforward, no. Why? Because they see the Ahzab, the congregation who visited Medina to fight the people in Medina. They thought, khalas, Medina cannot do anything. Now Islam is going to be gone. And subhanallah, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is removing the basira from those guys. They know that Muslims are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be on their side. But this is what enmity is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْرِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. You know, they came to fight and people thought that khalas, Medina is gone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even let the Muslim fight. Allah did the fighting. وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ سَيَصِيهِمْ وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ فَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ وَتَأْسِرُونَ فَرِيقًا. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them back. He says, we took them back from where they came from. And he protected the Muslims because they did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The little they have, they did. They make the trenches, you know, and they did whatever is possible, they had done. The rest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took over, and the battle was over, just like that. So they left, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got Banu Qurayza. So back to the hukum of Sa'd. Sa'd, when he says, Ya Rasulullah, this is my hukum on them, whoever reaches the age of maturity has to be killed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ السَّبْعِ سَمَاوَاتِ. Allahu Akbar. You know, because now we have somebody to confirm. You know, he did not say, I'm doing the hukum of Allah, Sa'd. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the one who will do the hukum. He said, yes. So he said, hukumi. He said, my hukum is going to be accepted by even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So when he did, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's precisely the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the seven heavens. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. But as I said, this is a system. We have to really be very careful. All of these things that we see nowadays being practiced by some Muslims in some countries, subhanAllah, a person will go and take off a village, you know, village, destroy everything just because he doesn't believe in the government, you know, and he believes whoever cooperates with them is also a kafir, but those ones, what do they do? And kill the security who are spending day and night to make sure that people are in peace. Wallahi, whatever you are, you're going to say, you know, I love the statement of one of our scholars when one of these countries was gone because of the protest. The country was in a chaos, you know. I don't think they ever witnessed a chaos like that in recent time. You see, throughout our history, you know, in the past maybe they might see things worse than this, but he says throughout our history, never saw what we saw within a week. Yeah, a person will come, a group of people will come in a car, and they will just stop the car next to a sister who is walking on the street and drag her by force and leave the place. He said, twice in a week happened. He said, we never expect to see this taking place in this place, which is considered as one of the most, if not the most peaceful place in that country. Why this happened? Because there is no al-wazir, the al-wazir al-sultani. Yeah, because the government is gone. No police, no security, no anyone. Police, even if they are corrupt, but their existence and presence, when the criminal sees them, they don't commit the crime. Just like that. So you'll be able to live in peace. That's why in the daytime, usually, people don't fear anything. You go wherever you want, and nobody is, going to attack you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So this is a system, and a complete system. And a person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and study in the school. Study in the school and leave this matter to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the matter on their shoulder. So inshallah, this is just to refresh your mind on what we have studied last time. And inshallah, in the next class, next week, bi idhnil wahid al-ahad, inshallah, if Rayyan did not have any plan next week. So we will come, we will start from the second issue. Last time, Al-Amir al-San'ani says there are some masail that he will be talking about. So he talk about the first one, and he will be talking about the second one, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. So we will start from there, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any questions?
No, inshallah.
Assalam.
Has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been given visions of the conquest and the battles?
And the Ghazwat Mu'ta.
Hind.
Mu'ta.
He's asking about Hind.
It was him.
Hind.
Al Hind.
Aha.
Yeah. Because the title is Ghazwa, it is, you said that it is as if the Prophet himself was there, because he has been given visions of it. So has he been given visions of those battles as well?
No. I was just talking about the difference between Ghazwa and Sariya. There are two things here. Sometimes they call it Sariya, sometimes they call it Ghazwa. So scholars mentioned that Ghazwa is used to address a battle that the Prophet ﷺ participated in, when he was there physically fighting with the believers. Or even if he doesn't fight, but he was there in the place, they call it Ghazwa. Sariya is when he sent a small group of people to go for a mission. Was probably they go for at night, you know, to fight the enemy. They call it Sariya. So now the Ghazwa to Mu'ta, they call it Mu'ta and they call it Ghazwa. But the Prophet is not there. So they're trying to give justification. Why do we give it the title of Ghazwa rather than Sariya? So some of them said because the Prophet was given that vision, he can see. I mean, he sees what happens in that place, and he told the brothers some of the things that are going on in the place. Yeah. Is it like he's seeing the whole thing, Wallahu A'lam. But he tells the believers, just now and so has been slain, and so person took the flag now. Yeah, you get an idea. Many other battles, the Prophet ﷺ goes by himself. Around 17 to 19 battles he did in his life, and he went by himself. Yeah. So it was only Mu'tah where that vigil was taking place. Yeah.
I've heard about the hadith that says, it's talking about how the
Tusa'ar bin
Nar. So one of them is Qara al-Quran. So now there are two ways I can read Quran with. Like one with both of them has tajweed and tartil, but one with a good voice and one without a good voice. So what intention can I make in order to read Quran with a good voice without making riya or without that? Is there any hadith about the rewards of reading with a good voice, or the voice is not as important as?
No, it is. Prophet Sallallahu advises us when we read Quran to beautify the Quran. Read it with the best voice you can. And he enjoys also reading Quran with a nice voice, listening to people reading Quran with a nice voice. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi enjoys so much. That's why he was listening to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reading the Quran, and also he told Abu Musa al-Ash'ari that لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ أَهْلِ دَاوُدِ. And I guess Ubay ibn Ka'b or one of the companions, he says, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was listening, and he doesn't know that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was listening, and he was enjoying his voice. So after he finished, and then he realized that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him how much he enjoys. He says, Ya Rasulullah, if I know you were there, I would definitely make it for you. Like, لَحَبَّرْتُهُ لَكَ تَحْبِيرًا, you know. I would make it, you know, the most beautiful one I can, you know. Not only this, I will beautify it more. So it is recommended for a person to beautify the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention should be one, that the recitation of the Quran, I'm doing it for tadabbur, and I'm doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole package, including, beautification of the voice, must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the sake of people to say, I'm an excellent reciter. If my intention in the heart is just to invite people to make comment on my recitation, then a person will be amongst those people. Well, yeah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "A wall man tusa'aru bihim naru jahannam hawla'i al-thalath." And the first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take to hell, there are those three. And one of them is the one that recite Quran for the sake of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, "Kathabt." Because when Allah asks him, what did you do with the blessing that I gave you, the knowledge I gave you? He will say, Ya Allah, qara'tu fika al-Qur'ana wa aqara'tu. I have recited Quran for your sake, and I taught people Quran for your sake. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, kathabt, you are lying. And the angels also will tell him, kathabt, you are lying. You know, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama qara'ta al-Qur'ana liyuqala qara. You are reading Quran just because you want somebody to tell you, what a nice reciter. Yeah. So, and subhanAllah, we're living in a time, we just have to be very careful. Sometimes you wish that all of these competitions also are cancelled. You know? Yeah, because trust me, many, 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 and now it became, you know, politics, absolute politics. Even deciding who win also is a matter of politics. Yeah. I remember somebody, they told him, you won, but we are sorry. We cannot give it to you. They have another plan, not this person. So it's not a competition anymore. And also, many children are trained on this. Yeah. Memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can join the competition. Yeah. How many kids ask, when is it going to be the competition? When is it? It is very dangerous, very dangerous. Yeah. Even your children at home, yeah, do not advise them to do something which you tell them you will reward them for it. That's wrong. Motivate them with any type of motivation, but not the material reward. They will be doing it because of that. The day they realize they will not get it, they will be lazy. You know, the day they realize they will not get it, they will be lazy. So those type of competitions, we really need to be very careful. I will prefer, even if we are going to have presents, you know, should be books. Yeah, something educational that you're going to be presenting to them, not material thing. You know, Allah guide us to the truth.
But how can I make sure 100% that I'm doing a specific act like reading Quran with a nice voice for Allah? When, like, sometimes when we're doing it, then someone we know enters the place. Like, sometimes.
Sufi, like mashallah. You feel that, mashallah, less. Let's go more, right?
No. Oh, yeah. Like, let's go less, so it's not
real. No, it shouldn't. There are some scholars who believe that if you stop doing something which is okay because of people, that's also another type of prayer. People shouldn't control you. You should fight shaitan. You should convince yourself that this is supposed to be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm supposed to do it. Yeah. That's why the only mufti concerning this matter is you alone. Yeah. You're the only one who can give the correct fatwa to yourself here. Other than you, nobody knows. Whatever I'm going to tell you, you are the one who can help yourself in this regard. And subhanAllah, it's supposed to be very easy, because when you read Quran, just tell yourself that this is meant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm supposed to be doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anybody else. So let this be in your mind and remain in your brain, you know, until the time you finish reading. And to make it easier, just keep assuming that you are alone in the place and that it's nobody. Although there are some other people, let's assume that you're alone. Once you start doing this, shaitan will keep on bringing these thoughts that you're doing it maybe not for Allah, maybe. Ignore them. Don't pay attention. He will never stop doing this. Just ignore. Keep it. Because what shaitan wants from you is to be afraid of doing it for others, and then at the end of the day you stop doing it, and then he got what he wanted. When you stop doing it, he is gaining. This is exactly what he wants you to do, to stop reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just try to just tell yourself, I'm alone here and I'm reading Quran alone. I'm not with everyone. Although there are people next to you, just take them as non-existence. It's like that. And shaitan and the good ones, whenever you start doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will keep coming in the form of human beings and animals, you know. So I heard one of our colleagues narrating a story of somebody. I don't know whether he was the one who was narrating the story, I mean the owner of the story himself, but he prayed and he heard somebody behind him moving, and then he beatifies his prayer. He was very muttaqi in that prayer, you know. Why? Because he heard some movement. So that means somebody's there. So he finished that prayer with khushu and ikhlas and ikhlas with the dunya, you know. After he finished, and he looked behind to see which brother came to the place, he realized that it was a dog. At least if it is a cat, is at the waf, at the wafin alaykum. But he realized that it was a dog, and subhanAllah. So if this story is true, if I tabbalah. Subhanallah. Yes, Adam.
Do capital goods in a conquered city count as ghaniyah?
Do
capital goods in a conquered city count as the loot of battle?
Where is the battle? In the city itself or outside?
Let's say it's a siege. The siege, and then the defenders of the siege capitulate and they're conquered. Can we take the capital goods as a battle loot?
Yeah, there's Banu Mustalik, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he fought them, whatever they left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the battle was taking place in their own territory. Yeah. If they accept, because once they are defeated, then the whole place becomes under the Muslim ownership. Yeah. So if there is no fight, then it becomes al-fay. Yeah, if there is a fight, then it's al-ghanima. Like the territories of the Ard al-Sawad, Iraq and that area. So it was open anwat, no peace. You know. So that's why when Umar decided not to distribute the land, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who were there fighting with him, they refused to agree with that decision. And his justification, he said, this is a very strategic place. The Muslims as a nation need this place. It is not good for it to be at the hand of a few. So that's why he said, we leave it for the Muslim, wherever they are. They don't want to agree with this. Yeah, they're hitting with the Nusus, and he's also hitting them with what he believes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as a discretion to decide for the Muslims. So that's why he is reported that he used to say, Allahumma kfini sharra bilalin wa ashabi. He said, Ya Allah, protect me from the evil of Bilal and his friends. Because Bilal was on top of those who say, no, we don't agree. And Rabbuka Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Hakim. They went to the battle, Bilal and his friends, they got killed, all of them. So now Umar doesn't have any rival in his decisions. And they, inshallah, they are in Jannah. So they got what they're looking for. Umar got what he's looking for. That's dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're the al-jami'ah. So it is fine if there is no battle, then it is owned by the Muslim government authority. They do whatever they want to do with it. In Khaybar, the place was conquered by the enemy and the battle was taking place in there. That's why there are a lot of distributions there to the believers, and some are kept for the Muslims. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at first, he led the Jew to control the Tamar. They told him, yeah, this place is our place. We know this place more than you guys. If you don't mind, we will take care of the Tamar and then we will be sharing the benefits. That's why they remain in Khaybar. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that they will come, you guys will be taken away. So during time of Umar kicked them out. They said, I guess one of them was saying that, but the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam aqarrana. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed that we should stay in the place. He said, no, but I know. He says a day will come, you guys will be chased away from the place. So now is that time. Yeah. So that's how it is. If there is a battle, then it will be ghanima. The battle, whatever you get at the battlefield, it will be ghanima. If there is no fighting and they run away, then it will be fight. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take everything and he will decide what will go to who. Yeah. Allah grant us good.
Sheikh Fi Su'al, there is a question by Sajjad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Could you explain what is mufaraqa? Someone informed me that it is when you follow the imam, but then for an emergency, you finish your prayer by yourself and leave. Is this correct and allowed?
Yeah, mufaraqa, this is a word that you have to attach it with something. Mufaraqat al-imam, meaning you're going to be separated from the imam. Mufaraqat al-nas hadha haram, you know, leaving the jama'ah, going against the unity, that's haram. Mufaraqat al-deen, leaving the religion. So mufaraqa is a general word that you, the meaning will be determined by whatever you attach it to it. So mufaraqatul imam, when there is a need for that, yes, a person has to do. Yeah. You're extremely ill. You cannot continue with the imam. And then you just get separated and finish your prayer alone and then go and take care of yourself. Yeah, but if there is no necessity, no heavy need, it is wrong for a person to get inside the prayer and also stop the prayer. Allah says, La tubtulu a'malakum. Yeah, and when you start praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wajib prayer, you're not supposed to cut it or anything, except if you have a reason for that. If a person has a reason, then he cuts the prayer. وَهَكَذَا شَأْنُ وَالْوَاجِبَاتِ. That's the only question. Oh, okay. So if there is no any other question from the people here, let's close the class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.